Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Two celebrations today. One, the 25th anniversary of the ordination of the first women priests in the diocese, of which Anne Dzinski is one, and Elaine Gifford up there is another. So today's a special day for those priests and for the wider church as well. And also, we celebrate the fact that we are at the halfway point in Advent. It's a time to evaluate where we are in our preparation, both spiritually and in life, for the coming of the light into the world. I wonder how you are doing with that preparation. Are you in control of these few remaining days of Advent in terms of Advent reflecting? Or are you almost in a state of panic because your Christmas tree isn't up, shopping's not finished, and you haven't thought about what you're going to have for Christmas dinner? Come on, it's next week. Do you feel like you're on a collision course with Christmas Day? There's a paradox that exists in Advent between the expectation to be still, to wait, and the overwhelming urge to take action, to do something, to prepare for Christmas Day, to celebrate at Jesus coming into the world. The fourth gospel's portrait of John inspires me. It differs from the synoptic gospels in that John is referred to as John the Baptizer in those synoptic gospels and the forerunner of Jesus in the fourth gospel. We read that he came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. John is a witness for Christ. Now, the religious establishments of the day were very nervous about John and his preaching, so they sent a party out to interrogate him. "Who are you?" they asked. Now, John was a bit like Jesus in the fact that he had a tendency of never answering a question directly. He responded by saying, "I am not the Messiah." Then they asked him if he was Elijah or the prophet. You see, Elijah and Moses were two key figures in Hebrew scripture. Elijah because he was transported to heaven without dying, and Moses because he led the people of Israel to the promised land. So the Jewish scholars expected one of them to announce the coming of the Messiah. To this question, "Are you the Messiah?" John said no. John knew his purpose. When Jesus made the claim, "I am," John says, "I am not." He knows nothing but to articulate his identity in connection with Jesus' identity. I wonder, can we make a similar claim about our purpose? I wonder, can we respond to who we are with God and all that God wants us to be? And I wonder, can we identify with Jesus as confidently as John does? The John of this third Sunday in Advent is the John that points to Jesus and says, "Behold, did you see him? It's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I also wonder about this gospel, because it begs the question, who are we? How do we identify ourselves in the world, and do we testify to the light? I was reading a reflection on this gospel passage and it raised the question, are we witnesses or interrogators? And you know we can run with either of these two words as our approach to life. Are we a witness or are we an interrogator? John was a witness sent by God, but the priests and Levites were interrogators sent by the religious establishment. The interrogators don't know the light. They don't know about Christ. They are living in darkness. But the witnesses talk about light, and they know the light, and they live in it. The difference between witnesses and interrogators is that interrogators want answers, and witnesses offer hope. We have enough voice in this world demanding answers and explanations. What the world needs is witnesses, people of hope. We need to hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, and prepare for his coming. And the first women to be ordained in this diocese came up against the interrogators of the establishment. They were banned for entering the Church of God as ordained priests, yet they were indeed the voices of those crying in the wilderness. They were witnesses to the light, and through the strength of Christ, through that hope they held, were able to persist and pursue their calling, and have now, our Anders Insti included, had 25 years of faithful witness to the Lord and Saviour, and changed many, many lives in that time as witnesses of the light by bringing hope. It was a difficult time, quite a tragic time, but hope prevailed. Just reflect a moment on the tragedies and difficulties of your life, perhaps the death of loved ones, an illness, a divorce, guilt, the sin that separates you from God, yourself and others. Answers and explanations don't sustain us. How, when, what and why are not what we want to hear. It was the word of hope that gets us all through. Hope doesn't make life easy. It makes life possible. Hope reminds us that it won't always be like this. There is light and life coming. It's already here with us. It's among us. It's in me and it's in you. Hope isn't easy. We need to practice hope. As we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, it means we rejoice always, we pray without ceasing, we give thanks in all circumstances. The words of interrogators make it difficult to hear the words of the witnesses. They're often the loudest, but the voice of hope has never been silenced. Which voice do you listen to? Which voice do you follow? Those are the questions we must answer every day. The reality of humanity is that we are a people of wilderness. The reality of God is that God is the God of hope. And remember this, the voice we listen to is the voice we will speak. It's what we will become. I wonder what your plan this Advent, this Christmas, to prepare for the coming of Jesus. And I'd like to invite each and every one of us to join in modelling Jesus' ministry in our lives. I'm suggesting that we, as disciples of Christ, be witnesses, that we testify to the light so that others might believe through us. How, you might ask, can we do this? Just came to my mind that when we sit down at the dinner table to say grace with the extended family, the five-year-old stops us in our tracks and says, "We must not eat till we've said the special words." It's a lovely little witness. He says it at preschool when they're about to have lunch. "Stop, we must say special words." What a lovely witness. We can witness by telling others what this wonderful community is here at Holy Covenant, of how we try our best to care for each other so that we can care for others, how we are active in the lives of the lonely, the housebound and the dying through our programs here, how we are active for Jesus by opening this place to the community so they can come and be and see that we are a place that welcomes and accepts all people, that we're a loving community. And you know, it might sound strange, but we could actually add the word God to our secular vocabularies and use it from time to time to let others know that he is a part of our lives. We could even talk about how the difference faith makes in our lives, how it helps to keep us going. Sometimes it's difficult to talk openly about our faith and about our God, but we can consider then to let others know of our faith by the way we live our lives, the way we treat others, all others. So instead of preaching the gospel, we can live the gospel. I think there's a fairly good expression of that here in this community when we look at the holistic care nursing ministries, reaching the lonely, the housebound, the dying from Covenant Care. When we look at the activities that go on in the collecting food down at Jamison to go to St John's Care for people who are hungry. When we look right across the range of things here, right through to the playgroup on a Friday, where people are a witness in their love and care of others with little children. We can all witness to the light, and we can do it as we carry out our day-to-day activities. As followers of Christ, we are the witnesses. And I know this because it is written in Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4, and it applies to all of us who witness to Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me and has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." We can say it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because the Lord has anointed us. He has brought us to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. That's who we are, my friends, as witnesses to the light. That's who we are. Amen.